T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Indians getting ready to play the Chicago Cubs tonight without Mike Clevenger. He was sent home for tonight's start because he decided not to fess up when Zach Plesac was sent home and blah, blah, blah. We all know the story. I just wonder where this leads to, and a guy who can give us some pretty good thoughts on this joins us right now. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. I'm Phelps. He's Baskin. And on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline from WKYC Channel 3, he's Mr. Jay Crawford. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
Jeff and Andy, how are you guys? Happy Tuesday.
Thank you, buddy. We're doing well. We're doing better than Mike Clevenger because he has to feel like a complete doof right now. If you're the Indians, what are you thinking about this guy right now, Jay? And what would you do about it? Is it overblown? Is it not blown up enough? What do you think?
Well, you have to take into account, I think, the mindset of somebody that was, you know, when you were your age, when you were Clevenger's age, you know, what might you have done? I'm not excusing his actions. And I don't think it can be overblown. I really don't, because we've seen what's happened with the Marlins and the Cardinals and how quickly that spark can turn into a raging blaze that you can't control. So everybody knows the rules. You don't have to like the rules. I don't know anybody that likes any of this. There's nothing to like about it. But to keep your teammates safe and yourself safe, everybody has to follow the rules. And if there's a break in the chain anywhere, the whole machine breaks down. So I don't like the rules. Clevenger doesn't like the rules. A lot of people don't like the rules, but it just takes one person to not abide by the rules, and then everybody has to suffer the consequences. So it's a big deal, no question. Hopefully it's a lesson learned. And, you know, hopefully this thing doesn't turn into a Marlins or a Cardinals situation.
Jay, Blue Jackets or Lightning at 3 o'clock? No, I'm just kidding. I'll get yelled at if we actually answer that question.
I got to go Lightning. I hate to say that.
Oh, stop it. You're not going Lightning. Blue Jackets are playing great right now. And Lightning, they were sitting out. But anyway, let's get into the other stuff.
I know. I'm really torn, I have to say. I never lived in Columbus. I my last year there, they announced that the Blue Jackets were coming. I've always rooted for them from afar. I like, you know, for the Ohio teams to do well. But, you know, I lived in Tampa for 5 years, sort of adopted the Lightning as my team.
That's too bad.
I'm really torn, man. I don't think there's a loser for me.
Well, you'll be a winner on this one. Hey, so let's get into some of this other stuff. Speaking of Columbus, this college football situation is bizarre. Like, I can't think of a year where we're not going to see Ohio State and Michigan play each other, but that seems to be on the table right now. When it's all said and done, and as the presidents were supposedly meeting as we speak or met this morning, what are your thoughts on college football? Are we going to see a season or not?
Sure doesn't feel like it. You know, if I was betting on it, I'd say no, we won't. But you just can never tell how this is going to work out. I think one scenario would be this sort of super conference. You know, if the SEC is the one that bucks the Power Fives and they decide that they're going to try to play ball, it could be interesting to see what kind of – I don't even know if it would be called a defection, because you're not leaving the Big Ten if you're Ohio State to join whatever is left of college football for this year. It's just a temporary setup. I don't even know how that will work. But I think the one thing that we can point to is the last 2 weeks, the cases nationally have trended downward, much as they have in Ohio. And, you know, we just don't know what things are going to look like in 2, 4, 8 weeks. We have no way of knowing. This thing sort of breathes where it inhales and cases go down, and then it exhales and cases spike. I don't even know that officially what we're experiencing or what we did experience a couple of weeks ago is considered a second wave. I've heard varying opinions on it. It certainly felt like it to me, but, you know, I am not an expert, and I can only rely on what the experts say. And, again, I've heard some classify it as a second wave, and others say no. But it's impossible to know what this is going to look like 4 or 6 or 8 weeks out. And all I know now is that cases nationally have trended down the last 2 weeks. Where it goes from here, anyone's guess. Nobody knows. But, you know, I know that a lot of the players would certainly like to try. I think one of the things that's really standing in the way of this is in the NFL and Major League Baseball and the NHL and NBA, they have a players union, and they can negotiate this kind of thing. And they can come to an agreement on liability should it become an issue. You can't do that with college football because these kids are unrepresented. Nobody is collectively looking out for their greater interest. Nobody. And that's been the case for years, decades. And it's never been a matter of life and death before. And now it is. And I think what this is going to lead to is a wholesale shift in the landscape of college athletics. It's coming, guys.
And when it shows up, because I agree with you, Jay, I think it's going to show up. Do you think we're going to see something like we've seen in Europe where club sports are the rage for people outside of high school, maybe even some in high school in Europe, but you want to continue playing after high school? Okay, you've got to go into a club, or you have to turn pro, or you have to something like that, because, man, the money that has always been pumped into college athletics has always seemed astronomical to me based on how much it costs for an ordinary kid to go to college and the number of kids who are student-athletes, you know, and it's just a weird dynamic. I would love for my kid to be able to go play college sports, but I'm hard-pressed to say because your kid is fill-in-the-blank, they should be able to go to college for free while somebody else doesn't. Well, you have all of these administrators making all this money and everything. It's a weird system, and this could bring it down.
I agree. It's a weird system. I think it's a broken system, and I think it's never been more apparent than it is right now. To your point of the amount of money this machine makes, it's in the billions with a B, and we're told that the kids get a trade-off of a free education, and that's all, and they're all square.
Yeah.
And I don't see it that way. And there are a lot of people that don't see it that way. I think one of the brightest minds on this is Jay Billis. And I've had many conversations with Jay about this very topic. And he comes at it from a former athlete's perspective, but also someone who is very well aware of the business of sport and the money that it generates. And you can't tell me that the system isn't broken when there are coaches and administrators and universities making tens of millions of dollars while these athletes can't afford to go into a bookstore and buy a jersey with their name and number on it. It doesn't make any sense. And I think where we're ultimately going is college sports will be a platform for football and basketball, because those are the big revenue generators. And I'm not really sure what things look like a decade from now when it comes to rowing and volleyball and track and field, which my son was lucky enough to get a free education bachelor's and master's degree because of it. Wow. I don't know what that looks like, because I think it's going to, in short order, be looked at as a meritocracy. In other words, you get and you spend what you make. And in the case of college football right now, the reverberations throughout college sports, if there's no college football, will ripple forever, because what that means is that is football, and primarily football, but football and basketball are the bake sales for all the other sports. You don't give 30 soccer scholarships or 20 soccer scholarships based on the revenue that you generate from your soccer program. There may be a handful of programs nationally that can afford to do that, but by and large, you're drawing on the financial resources of the football and basketball programs to help support all of the other teams. And if suddenly there comes a day where college athletes need to be paid, I don't know what that system looks like. I'm glad it's going to have to be someone way smarter than me that has to figure that out and how it's fair. But I don't know what that system looks like. When a young man at 21 playing in college football, what is his value when his potential the next year is multi-million dollar deals? I don't know how it looks. But I do know that a decade from now, it's going to look drastically different than it does today.
Jay, I mean, just looking at it from, you know, breaking away from the educational component, right? Like, I think every sport but football can do that. I really do, because you've got, you know, municipalities and cities own gyms. You don't necessarily have to go to a school. I just think, you know, the education system has a monopoly on the stadiums right now. There's very few stadiums out there that I can think of that aren't attached to a school. Byers Field, okay. But they're owned by the School
District. I think USF plays at Raymond James. I think there are a handful, Andy, but your point is a good one and a valid one. I don't know. I don't know what that's going to look like.
Yeah, I think the sad part that we'll see that you might lose if you move in this direction is just that association with history and pride, and does your pride move from school? I mean, and let's face it, people have it now, but is it more of a community pride rather than a school pride, rather than the history and tradition going that way? I think you're right, Jay. I think the entire athletic system is walking on eggshells right now, whether you think it's, and I do think that clubs will benefit from it. I think at the end of the day, I mean, look, do you really need to have college basketball? AAU goes to what, U19? So,
well,
and then
let's
if you're good enough
college
to go past
basketball
that.
Guys over the last decade is, I can't even watch it. Primarily because it can't figure out if it's a 1-year docking hold for the really superstar players. You used to be able to follow players' careers, freshman to sophomore to junior to senior, and be able to project, you know, what your team was going to look like 2 or 3 years down the road. It's all a snapshot now. It's a 12-month snapshot. And
right.
College basketball has been wrecked. So you're right. I mean, we've seen a lot of really good high school players just forego it all together, go to Europe, play for a year there, and then come in and play in the NBA. And I don't know. Gosh, it's stunning to me that you can join the Army and grab a rifle and put your life on the line for your country as an 18-year-old, and we have organizations that are telling young men, you can't play professional football until you're 21, or you can't play professional basketball until you're 19. I've always said, and I think this bears out, I've always said that there is no greater meritocracy than pro sports. Nobody's there by accident. Nobody's there because they don't belong. And if you are, you don't last long. They figure out you can't play and you're a fraud, and they wash you out. I mean, there's no special interest groups getting an extra wink and a nod to put different basketball players on the floor. If you're one of the best 12, you're on the team. If you're one of the best 300 and 60, you're on an NBA roster. But outside of that, you know, if these kids are drafted out of high school and they're not ready, then they won't stay in the league. And it's also a cautionary tale for other teams, because we've seen a lot of busts in the NBA when you could go right out of high school. There were a lot of busts, guys that were drafted as high school players and didn't turn into the superstar that they were projected to be. And that might lend teams to lead towards taking college players again and not so much the high school players. And in the NFL, there's not a lot of 18-year-old guys that are ready for the NFL. But I think all three of us watched Andy Katzenmoyer as a freshman at Ohio State. That dude could have played for any NFL team that he wanted to, straight out of Westerville North or South or whatever high school he attended. Maurice Claret may have been able to do it. There are a lot of running backs that are so talented, and that's the one position that I think, you know, you can most easily have success early on. You know, there might be 18-year-old guys that are ready to play in the NFL, and I just, you know, it's crazy to me that they're not allowed to do that.
Jay, you're making the NFL cringe, because what you're saying to me screams G League, Triple A baseball, Double A baseball.
Sure,
you know,
right.
And but
guys,
it's the easy solution.
The NFL,
right?
And college football right now are both huge benefactors of of an employment machine that creates billions of dollars in revenue that the players don't get a piece of. Who wouldn't love that setup? Who, literally, guys? Who wouldn't love that setup?
Yep, the NFL doesn't have to pay for it. Colleges make huge bucks.
And then a free developmental league. That's what college football is to the NFL. It's a free developmental league. They don't have to pay it for, you know, like it, as opposed to baseball, you've got all these Major League Baseball teams that have to support, you know, 3, 4, 5 minor league teams, depending on if you have rookie league and A league and all of the operational funds that go along with running those operations. You've got to pay those salaries. College football is taking care of that for the NFL. And I know that they both love the current system, but I don't know that it's fair to the players. It's particularly in a sport, guys, where you have whatever number of snaps you have, and it's not a lot, and it can end on any given snap. These kids are putting their lives on the line, and they're putting their futures on the line. And many of them, through history, have done so for 4 years and never made a penny out of it. While, if you're an 18-year-old prodigy and you come out of high school and you can code as well as anybody in the United States, there's no rule that says you got to go to college for 4 years to learn and come back and see us when you're 22. They can hire you whenever they want. But that doesn't hold true in the NFL, and it doesn't hold true in the NBA. Now, you can do it in baseball, but it's just odd to me that there's these systems that benefit, you know, major organizations like the NCAA and the NFL, and the worker bees are the guys that are told, hey, hang in there, kiddo, we're going to give you free education, and then you can roll the dice and see what happens after that.
Jay, my guess is the whole college football story is different when we talk to you next week. So I can't wait to see where it is, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts. Appreciate you being with us, buddy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.